Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and three things up for review this week. First up, there's the new action blockbuster, The Fall Guy, then the Anne Hathaway romance film, The Idea of You, and finally the new and truly wild documentary, The Contestant. First up is the new film, The Fall Guy, and this was a very fun but very meta action Hollywood blockbuster. It stars Ryan Gosling as a stuntman named Colt Seavers, and I didn't know this going into this, and maybe that's on me, but it's loosely based on an 80s TV show with Lee Majors called The Fall Guy, which is about a stuntman who uses his skills to pick up odd jobs and, you know, kind of like action police detective investigative stuff. So that's about all you probably need to know about the original Fall Guy and the fact that the characters share their names. But Ryan Gosling, our star stuntman, Emily Blunt, our leading lady who is playing a camera operator turned first-time director of a major blockbuster. Now, I think the thing that helps make this super meta is it's directed by David Leitch, who is an uncredited co-director of the first John Wick film. He also directed films like Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw, Bullet Train. He used to be a stuntman himself. In fact, I believe he was the stuntman for Brad Pitt, of all people. And he also owns an action design company, along with Chad Stahelski, who is the other co-director of John Wick. So the fact that David Leitch used to be a stuntman himself obviously adds one layer of meta-ness to this. And then the other thing I enjoy and respect about this film with this knowledge is that basically he used this movie as like a demo reel for his company, right? He employed probably every stunt person he's ever worked with. And I respect that, right? He is taking care of his people. And I love that for him. In addition to this, it's also a fun film, right? Because Ryan Gosling is charming as hell as this lead character. You know, I think he is so watchable, and I like that he's understated. I love Ryan Reynolds, obviously, but sometimes Ryan Gosling's like drier humor really does get me in a way that I'm like, oh my god, this guy is so funny and also so unfairly handsome. Emily Blunt is always a safe choice, I think, as a leading lady. Like, I think women find her unthreatening enough, but obviously attractive enough that you're like, yeah, okay, I'm not gonna hate this character, because internalized misogyny is totally a thing. She is playing his love interest. She starts as a camera operator and then is getting this opportunity to direct a big budget feature. They have a past together that comes into play. Then there's just like an entire absurd side plot that I suppose is more similar to something like the Fall Guy TV show. It's in the trailer, so hopefully not a huge spoiler, but you know, the person that Ryan Gosling is the stunt double for is this major movie star played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, and he goes missing, and so Hannah Waddingham, who plays the producer of the film and also the, you know, constant producer to Aaron Taylor Johnson's character, brings in Ryan Gosling's character to come help find Aaron Taylor Johnson's character. It also stars Stephanie Sue and Winston Duke, and again, I had a really good time watching this film. I do think the action goes on a little long in some sequences. It is very creative, right? Because that is David Leitch's bread and butter, and you have to admire the artistry of it. But there are a couple moments where I'm just like, oh, you know, you've impressed me already with this sequence. We don't need to necessarily keep going with it. But I think overall, it flows really well. This is one of those moments where the action is actually enhancing the storytelling. I think the more you know about how Hollywood sets work, the more impressed you will actually be with this film in terms of the authenticity. And you know, to a degree, obviously, it's hyperbolized and retold for a larger audience. But, you know, there are moments where I'm like, oh yeah, this is very a nod to Real Cruise. There are also a lot of very funny references to classic action films. You know, this is a love letter to the action in Hollywood blockbusters. And I also like that at its core, it's also basically just a romance packaged up with a bunch of stunts on top. And so I'm like, oh, this is so smart. This is for everyone, right? Because you have these two leading characters who, you know, I think generally all audiences are like, yes, I understand why I should be rooting for these two. They are both very attractive and have a good chemistry. Like, of course I'm invested in this. And leading with their relationship versus the action and the, you know, additional plot lines was such a smart move. So I generally think this is going to be a really pleasing film for all people. The only audiences I would maybe caution away from it are if you are just really kind of bored by action, which I think is a very valid, actually, criticism to have. You know, it just does not compel some people. And especially because this film does get a little overindulgent sometimes with those sequences, because for good intentioned reasons, but you know, you can be blinded by good intentions. If that is a little off-putting to you, I think maybe you stay away from this one, or maybe you go see it at home or one of those things. But otherwise, I had a really delightful time at this, so I'm going to give this a 4.3 out of 5. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The next film I have is The Idea of You, and this is out streaming on Prime Video. And if The Fall Guy is a romance movie sort of hidden and embedded in an action film, The Idea of You is just a one-note, and I mean that very specifically, romance film, and not to discount a film like that, but this is so cookie cutter. And I was so bored. And I couldn't get into it. And I don't think I'm necessarily the core demographic for this film, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to connect to it. You know, I get the sense that this is very much fan fiction slash wish fulfillment for 40-year-old housewives and or single moms. And not to knock that as an audience group, but, you know, a good film can be designed for one group and it resonate well beyond that. But I don't think this is a good film. I'm obviously just saying it up front. It stars Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzine, who I had no idea who he was, and he has now appeared in so many things in the last year and a half, 2 years. But kudos, you know, I do think he has a decent on-screen presence. Anne Hathaway plays the 40-year-old mother of a 16 or 17-year-old, and she takes her daughter to Coachella to see her daughter's favorite boy band and then meet cutes with Nicholas Galitzine, who is one of the members of said band. And, you know, I had to evaluate this from a few perspectives, right? Because we have seen this film before, I think, with the gender swap. You know, we've seen this rom-com formula. And having the woman be the older character, you know, I had to sort of look at, am I experiencing internalized misogyny? Also, I fully acknowledge I'm not a huge Anne Hathaway fan. I do think Anne Hathaway's best role is when she basically plays Anne Hathaway in Ocean's 8 because she plays a monster, and I just get the vibe that that might be her. She could be a perfectly lovely person, you know, but I don't know. But either way, not my favorite actress, right? If she'd been cast in The Fall Guy instead of Emily Blunt, I probably wouldn't have liked the film. That's just, but this is a me thing. But, you know, evaluating the film, evaluating, okay, well, we've got this sort of gender swap happening. We've got this sort of power position swap happening. I just found myself icked out by the way they kept emphasizing and utilizing the age gap and also his proximity to the daughter's age and like his bandmate's proximity to the daughter's age as a plot point. And it kept hammering it in. And I was like, you are not letting me suspend my disbelief or fantasize or do any of these things. To me, you just keep highlighting like, this is semi-predatory ? Or there are a lot of questionable decisions being made because the daughter is underage and nothing happens with the daughter. I should just get that out there. But, you know, I just, okay, putting that part of it aside and saying, all right, well, this part is not for me. What is their on-screen chemistry? You know, do I find them plausible as a couple? Am I rooting for them? They're fine. They're fine on screen. I don't find Anne Hathaway like a sexy character. And I don't think this character is necessarily meant to be, but a lot of this movie is like them making out and doing things. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is just kind of making me uncomfortable and I want it to pass. So, you know, like I said, this film is not for me. Also, I think it's based on a book which may have been started as fan fiction. I was like, oh, this makes sense. And I don't know if this had been just like a straightforward, they are the same age and meet at Coachella and whatever. I think I personally would have liked that film better. And I know that's even more cookie cutter because the twist in this is that she is older than him, but they just kept trying to be so clever with it. And they kept trying to throw so many arbitrary issues with them. And this is the other thing. She is such a glamorous looking character that the idea that, you know, she like doesn't fit in ever or whatever. I'm like, she gives off the vibe that she is in the position of power, even though his character is the one who is rich and famous and etc. I think that might actually be the core of my beef with this film. So if you read the book or you see the trailer and you're like, oh my God, I love this. It is exactly what it professes to be. So have a wonderful time. If you were on the fence about this or you were like, I don't know, this doesn't seem really like my cup of tea. It's not your cup of tea. And I truly just, it was a slog for me. So I am going to give it a 2.3 out of 5, but I'm going to asterisk it and acknowledge my own biases and say, I think there is an audience for this. It is just not me. My last film this week is something that was very much for me. It is a new documentary called The Contestant. And this was wild. I kept going, what is happening here? Twists and turns abound. It's following and following up on the story of something that I can only describe as The Truman Show meets Naked and Afraid meets Extreme Couponing. So in 1998, there was a show in Japan called Denpa Shonen. And, you know, it started out as sending people on trips to go do things and just like a bunch of extreme tasks. And they put out a casting call. And this man named Nasubi, who was an aspiring comedian at the time, answers this casting call. He goes to an audition, and then from said audition, he basically gets whisked away to a box of a room, stripped of his clothes, given a pile of magazines and then told that he has to win 1,000,000 yen worth of prizes through these mail-in magazine contests. And what he didn't know, which is the wildest part to me, is that this was being broadcast weekly and then eventually streamed daily. So this is one of the first like web shows to all of Japan, but he had no idea. And it became this huge phenomenon. But keep in mind, this is all happening in 1998. So it's before something like Survivor or Big Brother was going to premiere in the US. Something like The Real World was already on. But, you know, the fact that this man was not aware that this was happening. Also, I will acknowledge he could leave at any time. I think there was just like this psychological element of wanting to commit to this thing that he was told as a goal and maybe a psychosis that had set in at some point. But anyway, I had no idea that this was happening in 98. I don't think maybe the Western world was aware that this was happening in 98. So to get to see the story play out and then, you know, going on the journey with him. And then there are some twists and turns post show that are just even more surreal. So it's a well-told documentary. It's a wild story. I highly recommend watching it. It's out streaming now on Hulu, and I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.